I could do this two ways. I could tell you the implications of one factor at halacha and all the things you can do. But I think before I tell you all the things you can do, I want to tell you what you can do. Let's just make one statement. We'll come back to it to revisit this a lot more. Ner Chanukah, there's only one place in the world you can light Ner Chanukah. And that's in your house. Period. That's the only place you can be Yotzei Ner Chanukah. We could pilpul what's your house, but only in your house. If a place is clearly not your house, if you invite me for dinner and I light in your house, it's an absolute bracha levatol and I'm not Yotzei. You can't light in the airport. It's not your house. And that's because there's aloch of ner ishu beiso. Has to be in your bias. We'll revisit this afterwards. But I want to tell you, generally speaking, this is a limiting factor of where you can't light. But there's a phenomenal chiddush. I don't begin to understand it. I'm telling you straightforwardly. But it was articulated by two of the greatest poskim of our era, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach Zatzal, and I recently found that Rav Yosef Zatzal said the same thing. And Rav Yosef embraced, in fact, the difficulty. He doesn't explain away the difficulty. He says, despite that, are there Maisa Shahoyo? There's a fellow that's here for a dinner for an Israeli institution. He's been there for a while. He's going back there to Israel. The dinner Sunday night. Monday night he's leaving at 5 o'clock. He has to be in the airport 3 o'clock. He's flying. He's going to land in Europe someplace in the morning, and then he's going to go on sometime during the day and arrive in Eretz Yisrael in the evening, in the afternoon, whatever. So what's he supposed to do? 3 o'clock in the afternoon is too early to light him. By the time he lands, it's to be the morning. He's not Yotzei on the plane anyhow. So what should he do? If he lit on the plane, he probably wound up in jail someplace, you know. So what's he supposed to do? Now, to make matters a little bit more complex, his wife is also flying together with him. Now, so what do you do? I asked him if there's anyone that's in his house in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, some of his children are in his house. So there's a chiddush based on their ishu beisa that Samar Achiv devolves on the bias. I don't know, the people something have to have something to do with it. You know, a house doesn't have chiyuvim, we have chiyuvim. But somehow when you have a bias in a person, the chiyuv devolves on the house. So they said the following, that if someone in his house in Eretz Yisrael lights, he's Yotze with that lighting. Because Ner Ishu Beisel, the Ner Ish Chanukah were lit in this house. Now let's just take that in for a minute. This is a mind-boggling chiddush. And as I said, I do not begin to understand it in the least. We'll take it to the extreme. Let's move it back from Monday night to Sunday night, because Sunday night just make it even more stark. Because according to these points, it would be equally true Sunday night. So let's figure this out. It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon in Eretz Yisrael. It's his manad locus neris. So somebody in his house is going to light. He's barely coming home from Shachris Sunday morning. So I feel nish chatzais on Erev Yontif. And somebody's lighting in his house. Emachta brocha, nad likner, shechiyanu. It's Sunday morning, that's all. We go looking for a bagel, you know, the bagel stuff, and a cup of coffee. Chanukah. Ein Panacht, it's Chanukah. And he's Yotze. It's
a pshat. I think this too was once an answer to a riddle. I think Rabbi Radner said it last week. How could someone be Yotze and it's Chanukah? It's not even Chanukah by him yet.
Yeah, it's a pella. This is the tzir. It's a pella. It makes when you know, there are two things in learning. I have a friend who's a tremendous goyim. He's a Rosh Hashanah in town. He's a Ilu Shein Kamo. He's probably from the greatest Iluyim of the era. And so he once asked me the following question. He says, there's two types of lumdom. He says there's logical ones and mathematical ones. You know, some go and brisk, you know, the essence was to understand the svara. Right? They were logic, brisker logic, but logic. So some go mitzad the svara, what's correct, what's not correct. There are others that go mathematically through the sugya and see what has to be based on all the steps in the sugya. And mamela, they come out with something, but it's not necessarily something that you can relate to is necessarily so logically. It's mathematically, it's proven. Einstein proved a lot of things in the theory of relativity that you can't put your arms around from a logical standpoint in terms of our logic that make no sense. But he empirically demonstrated that they're true. So it means that our perception of reality and what we believe to reality is not always as correct as reality. We believe we understand reality, but it's really a limited sense. It's a reality that's beyond the reality that we understand. So Einstein demonstrated it. So we're going to have that in the halacha too. Something is true. We may not necessarily understand it fully. So a big guy in tries, though, to wrap his hand around, his arms around it, and to give it, to flesh it out, to make, you know, Rav Moshe Zatzal, his enormous koyach was that ability to lock in on what has to be true. You know, I learned by one guy in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Eliezer Plachinsky, he was unparalleled in his ability to logically frame a svara. Unparalleled. I never met anyone else in my life that could do it as well. Areas that you would not imagine that it's possible to do. He did it. So here we have a chiddush. Okay, assuming it's not muchach, you know, from their Isha base, there's no mechayev that the svara is true altogether, but it's a statement. But what's the sense of it? It escapes me. I cannot figure it out. How could it be? It's not the night of Yontif, not even Yontif for me altogether. And I mean Yotzei Neres Hanukkah. I don't know, somewhere up here there's a disconnect. It doesn't go in. I'm not claiming it's a minor that it doesn't go in, but it's a gate, the shtarein and cup. What am I supposed to do? It doesn't enter the head. So, then there's another shayla, and which I would prefer really to be samech on. Let's say I'm not going to be home. Okay, I'm here in New York. No, I'm not traveling anyways. I'm in New York. I'm just not home. And maybe it's a time she have an important business meeting, whatever. I'm stuck in the office with my boss till 3 in the morning. I can't get home till 5 in the morning. I can't stay home again. What could I do? I just can't get out. It happens. So, nobody's home by me. Kananish, whatever. Nobody. Nobody there. Whatever. Whether the person's single or whatever they are, they're dispersed. But there's nobody around. So, can I send a shliach to my house to light my neiros and be yotze with shlichus or not? Now, but the fact, it's not muchroch, but by the fact we have a din in neiros Chanukah of Achsanai. So Achsanai stated the following: the mice in the Gemara, the Amora was living, he was an Achsanai, he was, I guess, a way at yeshiva, when he was living with somebody. So he was b'shtat to perpita, he gave him some money. And he was yaitzi with them. So the shayla is, what do you mean yaitzi with them? Why didn't he just make them a shliach? Simple. Since we're assuming it's anyhow, it's not a mitzvah shabaguf. If it's a mitzvah shabaguf tefillin, you know, you can't go to it if the guy sits next to you and she'll listen. I'm tired these weeks. I'd like, you know, better to get up at 10 in the morning. And the Chavdush can say late until 10 in the morning, so listen, do me a favor, here's $20 a day, and put on tefillin for me. Yeah, that's all, for the next 3 weeks, I'll give you $20 a day to put on tefillin for me. You know? Segeitnisht. It's the mitzvah, we have a dinner of mitzvah shabaguf, that I physically have to do the mitzvah. So Neres Chanukah is clearly not a mitzvah shabaguf. I'm here, it's with other people's lighting. So why is it? So why don't I care? I want to appoint. So why do I need achsanoi for? That is mishtad. Really, just ask the guy to be my shliach. That's all. So that doesn't work. So I had presumed from that. That was my assumption that I made long ago. That shlichus doesn't help her. You need something else. Nishkin didn't shlichus. Not I didn't shluch. Now, it wasn't such a bad assumption. I don't know if the raya is the correct raya, but it's a shtickle raya it is. You can answer the raya. I'll come to in a minute how to answer the raya. But not so bad. V'horaya lekach. And one of the latter volumes of Tshuvas that came out of after Ramosha Zatzal was Nifter. I think in the last one, he writes such a thing in his Tshuvas that there's no din shlichus b'neres chanuk. He doesn't give the background, I don't believe, for it, as I recall, but he says there's no shlichus b'neres chanuk. So I say I didn't come to a bad place. If I was mechaban epis that Ramosha learned, yet I came to the same idea in the sugya. So I didn't do too badly. Others don't agree. I saw in the writings of Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita, Rosh in Philadelphia, that he says he could be Yitzi, he would appoint a Shliach. A Shliach, he could be Yitzi with a Shliach. So I presume he has to learn that the din of the Shtata Paprite is another din. In other words, besides the fact that I happen to have a Shliach, but there's also a din, as the Chachamim say, that has to be my mummon. That's to be my money. So I have to light, and I have to light with my money. So that's Lechor, the way he's learning. So Mamela, that's why you don't find the notion of Shlichus in all of Hilchus Chanukah. Because I mentioned the word. Nobody mentioned Shlichus, the whole Hilchus Chanukah. Nobody. You know, otherwise, everybody just didn't near Yishu Beiso, Stam, let the father be the Shlich for everybody, and everybody's Yitzu with his Menorah. What's the problem of one guy, you know, the Sfardim of Mahadvin, only one guy lights. What's the issue altogether? It's their money, it's their house. And he's their shliach. So finish. So what's the problem? What do you need to like more than one menorah for? What's the point? It's everything. I'm lighting, and that's it. And it's my money. I belong to this household, so that's it. So what do you have? Yeah, it says it's this din. Or the question if we should have everybody lighting. What should everyone light forever? One guy should light, and he'll be the shliach, and finish. And everyone's yaitzeh with him. What's the problem? And especially if you look in light of the Rambam, in other words, those that hold, you should light one menorah, like the Sfardim do. So that means, so what do we have? That the Mahadran is everyone lights for himself, and then it reverts by Mahadran or Mahadran. If I can be Yotze, the Mahadran or Mahadran, with lighting, because the Shlichus, and it's my moment, so light one there and have the same thing. What's the difference? For what? Mitzvah Bo Yotze B'Shlucha, you're going to say. I don't know. So I'd never assumed that there's a din shlichus. So Shmuel Kamenetsky Shlita assumes it. So if I had this case of this guy going there to Eretz on Monday night, and one of his kids was left behind, and none of his kids, his next door neighbor, this guy doesn't live here, so he doesn't have a house here when he's not here. But if he had a house and he was just traveling to Eretz Yisrael, so I would tell him, your best bet is have your next door neighbor go in and light the menorah for you, at least without a bracha. So it'll be your menorah will be lit in your house. If shlichus helps, you'll be yotze. That's it. You know, maybe about that. You know, I would certainly rely upon that. If he had a choice of doing that, he had a house there, any house in Eretz Yisrael, and he could have someone light for him there, or he should light over here. I would certainly tell someone to light a day shlichus here before I would tell him to be samech on this chiddush that they should light in Eretz Yisrael when it's still 10 o'clock in the morning here. So this is a wild, wild timi, a wild, wild chiddush. I told one of my friends today he's going to Eretz Yisrael tonight. I said, you can think about it the whole way there and back, and the whole week that you're in Eretz Yisrael, to try to give some tzura to what this, you know, din is about, how it could be. So that's the really expansive side of Ner Yishu Beisai. Breaks new ground. We never saw such ground in any mitzvah whatsoever. You know, in any mitzvah, you blow shofar, and I'll be by me, it's before his man. Even if I would hear your coil, it wouldn't help me. Let's say you could blow that you're in a place where it's already daytime, Rosh Hashanah, and I'm in a place where it's still night. But your coil is so powerful that I can hear your coil where I am. I'm just going to do the shayla in the world, and nobody would say I'm Yotze. Can't be. So this is the expansive side of Ner Yishu Beis.
Don't you have Ner Chanukah, let's say on Friday afternoon, you say Kavsa Zakala, or Ein Zakala. So they went out,
Yeah, we on Friday to post the Taz Paskins on Friday.
It's not Falcons, right?
Yeah, but the Taz Paskins you have to relate because the Pshat is different over there. Even the ones that argue with the Taz learn that Erev Shabbos is a different Zman. That's this man. That's this man, and Adlokko is a mitzvah. If I care, the Taz is the one that's hard to explain, but if we get to it, I'll tell you what the Pshat and the Taz is. I have a tough Pshat and the Taz also. But well, let's start with the Taz. Not this Taz, a different Taz. The Taz articulated a halacha, which the Peskim is not the only one, but the Taz really goes at it at length. And it's a Taz that for, decades, more than four decades, Taz. Is like when I look at this Taz, it illuminates the whole world. Why? Because I was Zeicha that I grabbed one line in the Taz and what the Taz said, and it made so clear, it made it so clear to me what the Taz wanted. I've never spoken whatsoever. The Taz says the following: you invite me for dinner on one of the nights of Hanukkah. So I come to you at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Comes 5 o'clock. So you're lighting the menorah. So what does a good host do? You take care of all the needs of your guest. So you give me a menorah too. I should light together with you. And yeah, the Ramah said the mokum achila is koveya. So what more do you want than that?
It's not the house. It's where you eat.
So wait, we'll see. Zuk the Taz that there are many, many people that light the menorah when they're guests. In this situation, and it's Amaratzis, it's a bracha lebatolah, and then at Yotzei, and they missed the boat altogether. Why? Because Neiros Chanukah, he said, you can only light in your house. Since I don't live in your house, so it's very nice you want me to light there, but I can't be Yotzei there. And the Taz says, if I light in your house, the Taz says, what is it compared to? And this is the stunning, the telling line in the Taz. The Taz says, lighting in your house is if I live on the park bench. Ooh, some people are reliable. I called a guy about a shidduch. He's calling me back, actually. You know. So the Taz says that it's like lighting on the park bench. The Taz could have written, it's a place to light, but when you compare that to having the possibility of lighting in your own house, then it pales in comparison. But the Taz didn't write that. The Taz said it's the equivalent of going out there. Oh God, I decide, you know, there's not enough people past my house on 72nd Avenue, you know. It's pretty busy, but I think 73rd and 147th has more traffic than my corner. So that's it. I'm going to bring a menorah here, and I'm going to light outside the shul. That's it. That's it. I'll make a big ceremony, and that's it. We'll put a big menorah here, and whatever, everyone that passes through Kew Gardens goes in and out to see my menorah. Zuk di Taz. It's a bracha levatolah. It's not my house. You want to light in Berchayva here? It's what shaychus do you have? It's not yours. So Beryl's house and Mendy's house are not my house either. So I can't light there. So the Taz stated it clearly. It's not because relatively I have two choices and there's a better choice and I have to choose the better. No. Lighting in the street is a zero. You can only light in your house. So what did the Ramah say that the Mokum Achila is Koveya, the place that you eat? So the Taz is very poshut. We're used to living comfortably, Baruch Hashem. So we have, attached to each other, we have the kitchen, in the dining room, and the bedroom, all attached. So everything is under one roof. What happens if you're not so lucky in life? Your bedroom is a block down there, and your kitchen is over here, is down here. So where you eat, where you sleep, you can't eat, and where you eat, you can't sleep. You're not so lucky. You don't have everything attached. You have a block in between. So now where do you light? Which one is the conveyor? So we Ashkenazim Paskin, I mean, it's not only Ashkenazim, I think it's a Rajba, if I recall, that Mokum Achila is the Iker. The place where you eat is the Iker. So, that's what it's talking about. When I have two houses, and what I eat in, and what I sleep in, which one is the place that you choose. But if the place that I'm eating is Bechlal not my house, then there's nothing to talk about. I can't light it. Now, there were a lot of corollaries of that. At a Shiloh today, someone's going to a Chasana in Pittsburgh. Sunday, I guess. The chassan is to leave for a hall, who knows, some unearthly hour in the morning, you know, to take the pictures before the wedding. And he's going to be, whatever, for hours and hours in the catering establishment. So where's he going to light Neres Chanukah? So he'll come home, he rents a hotel room, he could light there, fine. So why don't we have an idea? Listen, the guy that I'm speaking to is a little bit in a pickle. He's not sure if he's staying where the chassan is, or he's going to get on the road and drive home after the chassan. That he didn't decide it. So why don't we just grand idea? We'll give out Chanukiyot, we'll give out menorahs, you know, Baruch Hasana, and everyone will light the whole Baruch Hasana. You know, you come straight from work on the day of a chasana, you know, you're not going home, you're meeting your wife in the city at a chasana, so you go straight from your home. You're not gonna come back to Queens and go back to Manhattan. So you tell your wife, listen, I'll get you a ride and I'll meet you there, I'll come straight from the office. So now it's, you know, 6 o'clock in the afternoon. It's high time to light Neres Chanukah. So good, I'll give you a menorah. Okay. Can't. It's not your house. There's no shaykhs. Somebody renting a room in the hotel, at least in the room they could light. That's their deer. I don't think the rest of the hotel is their deer, but at least the room is their deer. You can't light in the hall of a catering room.
How about the balabas who's paying for the hall?
It's also not his house, pashtus. Unless, you know, he has some mokum. You could clear a little bit, you know, that maybe it's partially his house because he rented it for the night. I once had in a chiddush that you reminded me of now, Hichos Bishul Akum, and it's good that Rabbi Kamen came in, because after the fact, I asked Rabbi Paltiel Zatzal, or a friend, and he was masking with me. Tell you, I'm Aisha Shahaya. So that's where you are probing. The guy with the balabos, that maybe it's a shtickle his house, the Hainu. A rov and a shul out of town. So they made the shul dinner in a hotel. So the clothes, even the in the kitchen that they use, so they're kashering, whatever, been cleaning, they closed all the pilot lights. Whatever it was from when during the kashering process, they all got closed. And he didn't relight them afterwards. The goyim relit them. And they cooked all the food for the dinner. And then, like an hour before the dinner, half an hour before the dinner, he realizes, uh-oh, what do I do now? There's a whole shul coming. I got into dinner. Much an old gekocht. Everything's cooked already. And it's all bishulakum. What do you do? And the rov's head is on the chopping block. You know, imagine you get up at the shul dinner, tell them you can't, none of us can eat tonight. That's it, you know. We decided to make, instead of a dinner, we're having a shul fast. We're having a fast tonight, you know. Serve you water and a little soda, and that's it. It won't go over too well. So I had an iron fall, and I said, listen. There's Reb Shimon, who says, in Yoredeya, that if a guy cooked bebeis or show Yisrael, you're allowed to use it. There's a whole Torah sahin, why? But it just at least remains a sniff lahokam. With other things, we're saimach on it. So I tain now also in Chach Basadim Vaistois that we're welcome Hefsid Meruba, you could be saimach on this sheet that bebeis or show Yisrael, you don't ask. So I said, Hayyos, did he rented the whole place? It's rented to him, now he paid. So it's his. Today it's his. Tomorrow, like you rented an apartment. Is it mine? So I rented it for a day. It's mine. So I told him, because you can be done at his base of Shul Yisroel, and I have said Merubo. And the Rav's head also was the Choycha Hefsid Merubo. You know, another same old Hefsid Merubo. He didn't help and he the Rav's head. So I said, you could be Mekum. So he asked the Goyim Nachbal Teals at Tali afterwards, and he was Maskum. So you're right. It's Maskum with the Svar. So that's what you're asking. Maybe for the balabos who rented the whole place, maybe it's considered, you know, his dira. A shvacha dira, but maybe. But for everyone else, certainly not. Now, you can't light in the airport. There are certainly in a lounge in the airport, you can't light. I don't think anyone's going to say that the plane is your house. If that's my house, I'm telling you. Year by year, it's getting tighter and tighter in there, you know. I heard the sardine companies and now want to fly on the planes to see how they can pack more sardines than they can, you know. So.
And the trains, they used to have the sleepers.
Yeah, the sleepers. You had the Pullman car, so that's mamash like a rented room in a hotel. That's something else. That was mamash your private room. That's yours. In the Pullman, a Pullman car, you could light an air. So not in a regular car, not in the Long Island Railroad. But in a Pullman car, you had a private room with a bed and everything. That's yours. It's a dira. Now, one of the things that comes up is the following. And I'll tell you how most of the world learned, that I personally learned this way too. And Rabbi Yosef Zatzal learned differently. He has a chiddush that's against the whole world. The whole world doesn't agree with him. The Pri Chodesh was Rav in Yerushalayim 250 years ago, approximately. And he had in Hilchos Chanukah, there in the Pri Chodesh, he writes the following. Someone came in to him to ask him a shayla. The shayla was, I presume it was in Yerushalayim, that's what I presume. He was the Rav in Yerushalayim, so I presume it was in Yerushalayim. And this guy is going to a shver for the whole 8 days of Chanukah. He's moving in there, and he's staying there. He's not going home. So now he wants to know where he should where should he light? Does he have to go home to light in his house, or can he light in his shver's house? So the Pri Chodesh says he should light in his shver's house. That's what's in the Pri Chodesh. Now, most of the world assumed, most of the Rabbonim assumed, I should say, not of the world, but most of the Rabbonim assumed, Ani B'Seicham, that there's a difference. There are theoretical constructs and real-time constructs. A theoretical construct is a case that didn't happen. I want to explain the halacha, so I make up a theoretical case. And then I tell you what the din is. In a theoretical case, all the aspects that I include in the case should be necessary aspects. Since it's theoretical, what am I putting in things which are extraneous for? Real-time life is not so neat. Shailas are not neat. People come and they have a whole story. And in the midst of that story, I have to figure out what the halacha is. It doesn't mean every part of that story is necessary to produce that halacha. So most of the world learned that when the Pri Chodesh said it was a ma'isa with 8 days, not because he needed a kfiyas for the whole Hanukkah, that was the ma'isa shahoya. The guy was going for 8 days. But in a chanami, if he went one night to Shver, he could light in the Shver's house for that night because he's sleeping there. It's his. And this is the way basically the whole world, Moshe Tzatzal learned this way, everybody learned this way. Because a house where you sleep is your house. A horayah where you sleep is a very simple thing. I'll ask anyone, did you ever sleep on the park bench? Did you ever sleep on the park? I was too tired. I was too tired to go to make it to my house. I pulled over to the side of the road. You know, if light place, there's a few benches over there. I'll lay down and go to sleep. You know, in the morning I'll wake up and that's it. I'll go weiter. You don't see, you know, normal people don't sleep on the park bench. The truckers sleep on the way. They have a little room behind their cab, you know. They park the car, the 18-wheelers at night. They creep inside, lock the doors. And they have a bed in there and they sleep. But, you know, eating, we eat everywhere. If I'm not home, you know, I'll go whatever to a side street someplace, whatever. I'll sit in the car. I'll sit in a park someplace. I'll go to a restaurant. I'll eat wherever I eat, but I don't sleep in the street. Because a person, though, if you're tired, whatever it is, you go home. If you can't get home, you're in the hotel room, but you don't sleep in the street. You go home to sleep. So where we sleep, that's what a house is. That's a house. So if I slept there for a night, it's my house for the night. Also, it's also my house. Rabbi Yosef Zatzal learned fakert from everybody in the world. And he knew it. He felt that that was the pshat. He felt the pshat in the Bichodesh is you have to go for all 8 nights of Hanukkah, and if you don't go for all 8 nights of Hanukkah, goodbye. You can't light. You can only light in a place that you're for all 8 nights of Hanukkah. If you're not there for all 8 nights of Hanukkah, you can't light there. That's pretty hilt.
What does a guest do according to Rashi?
Go home. You don't be a guest. It's okay, like...
For a weekend.
That's it's like, I want to ask, according to Rabbi Yosha, he would have told you the following. Let's say I'm going to be a guest in a place, but I don't have matzah. So what should I do for the night of the Seder?
That's what
we said. Yeah. He was... Don't go. That's what we're going to help. Lord of the Guru, stay home.
You can't be a mishtapa
for... No. It's not your house. You're not an achshri... Are you really an achsanoi there? The achsanoi who probably says, Mustavri said it was meant bekfiyas. You live there. So you're an achsanoi bekfiyas, not for one night.
Could you rent a room?
For a night? I don't know if he, you know, he didn't have any aitzes for people. His aitzes was, from what I understand, stay home. That's it. There's no aitzes. What?
The world is not
knowing that. No, the whole world. I don't think he's a Das Yochid. Mamash a Das Yochid. I don't know of anyone else among Rabbonim, you know, in Poiskim, that took such a stand. Nobody. Whatever, that was his view.
It's the only Shabbos you can't have company, according to.
What?
It's the only Shabbos the whole year you can't have company, according to.
Well, you invite your next door neighbor.
That's all.
You can. He can sleep over. He light at his house and sleep in your house. You know? Not a problem. Al Kaponim, so there's a lot of halochas in their issue, basically. Now, you probably understand already from what I've said that you can't light a menorah. Let's go back a step before I come to that. There emerged a minik, the Rivoshet, apparently, it is a Talmud of the Ran, so we're dealing Sperach, the 14th century, beginning of the 14th century. The Rivoshet lived in the Arab countries, and the Arab intolerance, they have their times in history, was they weren't frum. You know, even for the rest of the world when they become frum. So they became very intolerant, and a yid couldn't put his menorah outside the house anymore. Not only couldn't you put it outside, you couldn't even have it showing outside. So they tucked the menorahs away behind closed doors and closed curtains. So there was no such thing as seeing a menorah in the street anymore. So down the tubes went Pursumanisa Barabim. There was no public Pursumanisa. So the reverse says in this milieu, they started a minhag that they should lighten the Bati Knesias. So there should be Pursumanisa Barabim. Which is an interesting thing, because there's no mocker in the Gemara forward, nor in the Medrash. There's no such halacha. And there's a Chiddush Nifla here that the Chacham Tzvi says that he doesn't understand, because there's a fundamental machloikus of Ashkenazim and Sfardim. Do we make a bracha on a minik? And most of the Ashkenazi Rishonim paskin that you can make a bracha on a minik. And the Sfarad Rishonim said you can't make a bracha on a minik. So we make a bracha, for example, the Yechidus on Halo on Rosh Chodesh, which is only a minik. Sfaradim don't, only Betzibah. This is a machleikus, a known machleikus, Tzvardi and Ashkenazi Rishayna. So he says, the Chacham Tzvi asks in the Tshuvas, so why is it that they made a bracha on Eros Chanukah? It's a minhag ba'alma. So what's the right to make a bracha on it? That's what he wants to know. Okay, we'll leave that as an open question.
Why is it the equivalent to
Halal
B'tzibur?
But there was no takana for it. It's the Halav B'tzibur, we didn't have the Gemara to such a thing. You know, but here there's no basis. So how do you make a brocha on something which, where's it coming from? Because Halav B'tzibur, I think there's a source in the Gemara for it. So that's a Dinder Rabbanon, according to them. It's not a Minik Ba'alma B'tzibur. I believe that's the Pshat, according to them. Al Kabonim, the Chacham Tzvi, and the Tshuva is B'lai B'shver. He leaves it unanswered. There are answers, but the Chacham Tzili, that's not for now. So, this is what they enacted. So what's important to know, Rabbi Yisrael, there was no mocker in the Gemara, nor in the Medrash, nor anywhere for this din. This din was a creation of the Sfarda Shereshonim, and eventually it became a kumbul as well by the Ashkenazim. The Minhag, probably for similar reasons, because the Ramah wrote in the Ramah's Krakow of this beginning of the early 16th century, the intolerance also reached that crescendo. And in Polish Krakow, you couldn't have a menorah visible outside either in the Ramah's time. So it was just as bad in Poland as it had been in North Africa. So the Ashkenazim also adopted this minhag. But this minhag is restricted to Bote Knesias. We like many times in other places, for example, we make a Hanukkah party. So we tend, it's a minhag ba'alma. That is, I don't mean it's a minhag halachic minhag. There's a practice that we light a menorah, and when there's a gathering of people on without a bracha. And that's sort of zeichel nes, that we want to be mefarsim the nes, but we don't make a bracha on it, because there's no halachic basis for it. So, which also means the following, that if you want to light a menorah in Columbus Circle, it's also to make a bracha on it. You light them all the menorahs you want there. But a bracha you can't make. It's not a beis haknesses. If you light not in your house, not a beis haknesses, not in a beis haknesses, bracha levatala. Light menorahs, you light menorahs wherever you want. But you know, when it comes to making a bracha, it's a whole different story. So this was an addition that in the Bote Knesias was a latter day addition. Now I mentioned that the Shabbos, that while I was in Eretz Yisrael, I had occasion to, I had davened Marv already, and I was waiting for a hesped to begin, to the yeshiva, and I was standing next to the svar. So in this right next to me was the kolboy, the Rishon the kolboy. So I took it off the shelf, and I started turning pages, reading interesting things. So I came to one page, I don't even know where it is in the Kolbo, in all honesty. But I found the following. He equated two things which I always personally thought were connected, but he's the first one I found that specifically spelled out that it's connected. He connected this minhag of lighting in the Bote Knesias with the Kiddush B'Bote Knesias that we make Bizmaneinu. And I had always learned, and someone showed me, it's in the Tshuvas and Arzaruah, says this in one mahalach that he has, says this pshat. I had a kasha on the Gemara. The Gemara says in Arvei Psochem that the Gemara has a whole debate why they made Kiddush and Shul. So Rav held they made Kiddush and Shul because you don't need Kiddush B'Makom Suda. So you hear Kiddush and Shul, it's like Abdullah, you yaitzi, that's it. So one mitzvah finished for tonight, you know. Now you have to worry about eating, but Kiddush you don't have to worry about anymore. Shmuel says, ain't Kiddush a little B'Makom Suda. So what did you make it for? So the Gemara says, "Lafuke orchem idechay vasim," to be mighty the orchem that are going to eat them. So the shaila is the following: if according to Shmuel it's a din in the orchem, so why in the world did the guy at the shamus get up in the middle of shul and make it? Right? It's clear. A rab was saying that anybody in the shul is yaitz not only for orchem. In the middle of shul, the chazan got up and you know, the shamus got up and he made kiddush. So if it's only for orchem, so why did they make it in the middle of shul? Everyone should have finished. The sitter said, "Aleinu." Should have finished davening. The orchim will go with whoever they're going to eat. Tosfos says they ate in the room next to the shul anyhow. And the shamans should have gone there and made kiddush for them if they wanted them to make kiddush for them. But what's in the middle of the shul? They go up to the bima. The whole it's clear that that's what happened because Rav says everybody's yaitzit. It means the whole kehillah was there when they made it. Didn't they just make it at the guest house? Because if they did, it would be clear that Shmuel was right that it was only for the orchim. Rav says it's for everybody. Maybe there were always orchim. In those days, probably there were always orchim. People came for Shabbos, and they didn't have hotels, you know. So there were always orchim, travelers. That was the norm. So was it a pshat? So I tied it that the pshat is that the norm is lafuke orchim idecha vasa. But they really had a second agenda. And the Arzaruah spells it out. They wanted to be Mekadosh Shabbos Barabbah. So a Meila, instead of making the Kiddush in the guest house, they made the Kiddush in Shul. And the Kolbo connects these two Menhagim. They says these two things, the Neris Chanukah in Shul, and the Kiddush in Shul, are connected. They're similar ideas. So So Baruch Hashem Shekivanti the Daito Agdol of Arishna. So it's a Bimafarsam at Barabbah. That's its function. Now, let's just end with one more thing about the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses. The lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is something which is very unusual. The Hainu. In the whole world, we light the Neiros at night. In the Beis HaKnesses, we light again at Shachros, but without a broch. What are we lighting at Shachros without a broch? What's the Yisoid of it? Is it just the same as lighting, for example, at a Hanukkah party? So I tie in it that it's more than that, and I think in the Tshuvas Binyan Shlema from Shlema de Vilna, Zatzal also spells it out this way. There's a huge tumult between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. When we talk about it, it's Hatovah Saneiros. What is Hatovah? The mitzvah of Hatovah Saneiros. So most Rishonim learn that you lit at night, by the morning the Neiros went out, and you, or sometime in the day, in the shorter days, it went out, and the Kohen came and cleaned out what was left over from yesterday and prepared the menorah for the next night. That's the Hatovah Saneiros. The Rambam came along and cooked up. We're still trying to scratch our heads, trying to figure out where it came from. The Rav Yosef Ver Soloveitchik Tain is a concept of the Pasuk. There's one Pasuk in the end of Chumash Moshe which calls the Neiros Neiros Hamar Rochel. Whatever, he has a whole share on it. But a clearer source for the Rambam, we don't really have what he based it on. But the Rambam wrote that Hatovah Saneiros is something else. The Kohen came around, and any Neir that went out, so he added oil and he rekindled it, so the Neir should burn throughout the day. That was the Rambam Shita. So according to the Rambam, the din of Hatovah Saneiros is to rekindle the Neir, any of the Neir that went out in the morning. That's the Hatovah Saneiros. So in the Beis HaKnesses, which is ultimately, the mitzvah Zeichel HaMikdash, Horayah that Zeichel HaMikdash, where do we light the menorah? On the southern wall of the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because in the Mikdash and in the Mishkan, the menorah was Bedorim, on the southern side of the Heichel. So that's where we put the menorah. So it's Dugmas HaMikdash. If it's Dugmas HaMikdash, so then we do Hatovah Saneiros. When we came to do Hatovah Saneiros, according to the Rambam, that we relight the menorah in the morning for that reason. Dugmas HaMikdash in the Shitas HaRambam. So that seems to be the marker for this. And as I said, in the Tshuvas Binyan Shlomo from Shlomo de Vilna, I found this as well. So, as is Hashem, so we went over a wide scope of places where you can't light and places that where you can light. And may the Rebbe Shalom grant that we be inspired by the Ayur of Chanukah, the Ayur of Chanukah, the realization that Kinder Mitzvah Torah, and the Torah illuminates in every situation. Lahagid b'boika chastech oba munoscha b'aleilos. Munoscha b'aleilos is not only in physical night, but it's in spiritual night too, in times of spiritual darkness. When we live in times that it's a struggle to perpetuate the spirituality of Klal Yisrael. But at the darkest of the gullies is Torah. Where is it that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, a big chelak of his godless, developed living under Stalin, under house arrest? He was under house arrest for years. But he was undeterred, and despite all the dangers that existed in Stalinist Russia, Rav Moshe sat and learned. The Ur that was to illuminate the whole world continued to develop in the darkest of nights of Stalinist Russia. That's the Neir, the Ur of Chanukah, that it has the ability to cast light and illuminate no matter what the outside circumstances around us are. Whether they are benevolent or malevolent, in all situations, the Oyer that the Rabbeinu Shalom sent us, the Torah Oyer, illuminates. And that's the message of Hanukkah, to contemplate that. That in the darkest of times, in the days of Yovan, when it was hard to imagine that all wasn't lost, and yet a small group of people, the Chashmonaim, engineered a revolution against the mighty force and prevailed to restore the Mikdash. So that's the Koyach, the Siyata, the Shmaya that we have, that we can be mayor, we can illuminate with our Torah, the Chol Mokom, wherever it is. There's no place that's beyond our ability to illuminate it with the light of Torah. A good Erev Chanukah, Rabbi Yisrael.
So that's